The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Mike Missinelli. Yeah, Mike Missinelli.
Oh, it's a smooth groove for an exciting day here on a football Friday where we actually get to talk about the results. The Mike Missinelli Show broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So the basic theme of my little soliloquy here will be this headline. Carson Wentz and Evan Engram bailed out Doug Peterson. Yep, that's the basic theme, and let me explain as we break it down. Well, last night, you're all weary watching that game. I know you are, because I'm weary. It was hard to sleep. You're watching a game, you're going, oh no, they're going to lose a game, and all of a sudden they win the game. It's exhausting. And we experienced last night the thrill of victory and the agony of actually getting to that victory. Yes, there was agony getting to that victory. On one hand, you had Carson Wentz, who led them down the field for the game-winning touchdown. And as the yelps were cascading throughout the Delaware Valley about a couple of his shaky, ill-advised throws, in the face of a game-winning drive, he makes two absolutely brilliant throws. The one to tight end Richard Rodgers and the other one to Boston, which was just a thing of beauty on both ends. That throw has to be perfect. The catch has to be perfect. They were both perfect, and it was the game winner, and it was amazing that they actually won that game. So now, the only chance they actually had to win the game, and I'm just trying to be fair here, was that the Giants suck so bad that they just couldn't wait to crash and burn. Just couldn't wait. You could just see it. It's like an avalanche. And then it started to crumble, and it all came down. You could look at that, the fact that they let the Eagles score within a minute 39. With the score 21-10, they let them score within a minute 39. Go right down the field, boys. Just get a touchdown. Two bad penalties and horrendous coverage on a bomb, the last thing you want to allow, that Hightower catches, right? So they get within, and of course they miss the two-point conversion. We'll get into that in a second. So now it's 21-16. Now the Giants use up only 2.5 minutes before they give the ball back because Evan Engram can't catch a perfectly thrown ball, which would have sealed the game. So you got to weigh both sides here. I'll take anything away from the Eagles. That's three games in a row where they fought hard to the end. And this one paid dividends in a win. And I know it was against the Giants, but it's impressive anytime a quarterback takes the ball down the field and gets a game-winning touchdown. So now let's look at the Doug part. I'm sitting here and I'm going, well, let's just break it down here. Doug Peterson, for reasons that are unclear to me, decides that a fourth down play to a guy who's never been on a football field before is a good play. Now, maybe he's thinking in his head, well, maybe they won't suspect. Because, listen, Kroom was open last week. Nobody covered him. Maybe we can get away with this. What are you doing? You got more reliable situations and plays than this. Why would you try that? Now, you could argue it was pass interference on the play, but the decision to go to Keem Butler in that situation I found really weird, and it goes back to what are you thinking about as you coach a football game? Because I don't think you're thinking very deeply. Now, the game turns on the play where they give the Giants a first down, which any fool can see has to be a challengeable play. You see it right there. It's close enough where you don't even hesitate to challenge that. And what is he thinking about? What is he thinking about losing at that particular juncture? What is he thinking about losing that he would withhold a challenge flag and throw it too late? That's complete malpractice as a head football coach in the NFL. And then, of course, the two-point conversion where the Giants gift them a yard to make it easy to score a two-point conversion, and he has his quarterback on a keeper, which is stuffed up. The Eagles won the game despite their head coach, and I think that's fair. You know, I don't want to come on every day and bury him, but come on, folks. You saw the same thing I saw. Carson Wentz bailed their butt out last night. And for the people who rip Carson Wentz, blah, 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 it's three straight weeks where he showed a lot of heart at the end of a game and made two sensational throws. You can say what you want about him deciding to throw the ball across the field, which is foolish. And in his fifth year, he shouldn't be even think that thought. But when you make amends and you make two great throws like that, you got to give it up to him while you're ripping the head coach. Is that fair enough? Is that a fair enough assessment, Tyrone?
I think you're being fair. Again, the Wentz stuff almost shields the coach in a way. Again, this time in a positive way, but then also people that are mad, I know we're going to get calls today where people will rip him to protect Doug because Doug still is in people's hearts. But the decisions, okay, the one. So now Hurts is in. Wentz, get you downfield. Fairly easy. This is before the 97-yard drive that the defense ends up giving up. So Wentz has driven you down the field pretty well. They got in the red zone a lot. Like, I know people think, oh, they were lucky to win, and they were, but at the same time, they controlled large pockets of the game and made their own mistakes. They got in the red zone seven times. You're supposed to win the game. You take Wentz out, and you run a regular-ass option play with Jalen Hurts and waste it down inside the 10. And then you bring him back on the field for third and goal. On first and goal, you get a couple yards, and then you run that play. That's, to me, malpractice. If you want to use him around midfield for a spark or something, fine. To take the ball out of your quarterback's hand when he's moving the ball and put it in Hurts, and then the creativity, not a pass, just a regular option like it's Oklahoma? What was that call?
I have made this accusation many times, Doug Peterson. He may be a good coach in a lot of other areas, but when you're on the football field and you're doing live action and you're managing a game, the fact that you can't throw a challenge flag quick enough is just beyond comprehension. Because by all rights, the Giants should have won the game because he didn't throw the challenge flag. And the only reason they didn't win the game is because they're idiots. All right? Now, that's the bottom line, because when he doesn't throw that challenge flag and they score, the game should be over.
Yes.
And so his mistake of not throwing that flag should have cost them directly the game.
And what's funny is they ended up doing all that, and they ended up not needing that timeout. One, he would have won that challenge. The Fox guy said it. He was clearly short. Mm-hmm. Maybe they go for it on fourth down. Or they go, we have a lead here. Let's get points. And they kick a field goal, and it's a completely different game. I don't understand how he's not ready. I now have to start questioning the coaches around him and in the moves that they made in the offseason. Now I'm starting to believe it does matter who's around him. It has to matter. In the moves that they made in the offseason, have they neutered the people around Doug to where they can't say anything? What's the replay coach doing in the ear? Like, who's around Doug that can talk to him now?
And that's a great point. And we've said that before, that people aren't getting whatever. But if you noticed, a little earlier, when he foolishly was thinking, you could just tell he was thinking about going for it on fourth and whatever it was, mm-hmm. on his side of the field, mind you, and somebody got in his head because all of a sudden he stopped and go, okay, let's kick it.
Right.
Somebody got to him.
Right.
He was actually going to go for that.
And he was going to do that, Mike, with he doesn't even know who his offensive linemen are. Opetta. It was one game, but he did not look like it. He was about to go for it on fourth down. He was doing those sneaks that you mentioned in the open with the offensive line that couldn't get a push at all. in the game, and he's still going for it. He didn't adjust, and you've been talking about this, for the personnel that he had at any point during the entire game.
You got to match it. In your brain, you got to match your personnel that you have with what you can do. And it's just, it makes me nuts that he just isn't a game thinker. And I think that's fair to say. They won. And at the end of the day, here they are in a good position to win the division because they won that game last night. And they staved off, you know, we were saying yesterday, if they lost the game, it was like sayonara, you could play taps. And I was looking at the game, I'm going to play. And then I go, wait, what did I text you? What did I text you? But the game was 21-10.
You said, wait.
The Giants could still F this up.
Right. And I didn't think they were. Yes. And then they scored so quick, to your point, like you mentioned, they scored fast.
In 30-something.
How does Hightower get that clean?
Two penalties and a bomb where the last thing the cover guy can do is let a guy get behind him and he's peeking in the backfield. What do you care about what's going on in the backfield? Cover your guy. It's the only way they can get back in the game.
That's right. And one last thing, Mike. DeSean Jackson gets hurt. It's unfortunate. This time, it wasn't really a brittle thing. This was a dirty hit.
Yeah.
The punt was inside the 10. He's your number one receiver, and you thought you were going to have to about to have to go 90 yards.
Yeah.
Why is he in the game?
He thought, see, this is the thing. He thought that he could push the clock back and that DeSean Jackson was going to pull another giant punt return miracle, not realizing that DeSean is now 32.
Right, and
that was 10 years ago. It was literally a decade ago.
That's why he put it back but he could recreate a miracle.
But this was a good punter. That ball hung in the air. There had been no chance for a return the whole game. It wasn't. Maybe DeSean could have if it was a short shank or something. This was inside the 10, and it was going to be inside the 10. Have Greg Ward in there, and then save those since he was on a pitch count because you might have needed a deep shot. I thought, and this isn't about what happened on the play because that was a dirty play that has nothing to do with Doug. I think the thinking, having him in there because a punt is a high-risk play, to me, wasn't a wise choice, whether he got hurt or not. It didn't make sense to me to have him in the game in that spot, knowing he's coming off of injuries. I just didn't. I thought that was a mistake.
No, I agree with you, but to me, it wasn't as egregious as trying to overthink yourself. And like if that Akeem Butler thing was a basketball play, Michael Jordan would not get the last shot. And it wouldn't even go to John Paxson or Steve Kerr. It would go to some other deep sub, like at the end of the Bulls bench.
Right.
And you'd be going, you know, at that point, you can't outsmart yourself with a guy that's just, Jesus, he can't even spell NFL, this guy. You got to do something where you take advantage of whatever strength you have. But that's just me. We'll talk about it because it's going to be a very busy day here. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It is a Football Friday. Brian Westbrook will join us for an hour with his analysis of this game coming up at 4 o'clock. Until then, it's your call, so let it fly. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. That's The Cure, right?
It's Depeche Mode.
Oh, it's Depeche
Mode. Yes.
Yeah, Depeche. Same genre.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm heavily into Depeche and The Cure.
I'm sure you are.
Back in the day. Any event, it's the 4 o'clock hour, and it is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, I'm looking forward to this hour because this is an hour we're not looking at a game coming up, but a game that was just played. And my man was going back and forth with some people on Twitter last night. He is the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Landis Block. Get your jaw-dropping backyard paradise online at LandisBC.com. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mike. You miss. How are you, my friend?
Fantastic. First of all, the pregame show sounded like a blast. I listened on the way home. You guys were having a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, that Derek Gunn, and you know, of course, Devon is going to always be solid, but Derek Gunn is the man. He actually brought us cookies. Mrs. Gunn,
I heard that.
Big
yes.
chocolate chip cookies yesterday. Yeah. They were delicious.
Yeah, but he didn't bring ribs. And I know you had a lot of rib talk on that show last night.
It's hard for me to understand for a man that cooks as much as he does on the grill why he hasn't brought us ribs, to be honest.
I think it might be a ruse.
Yeah,
I think it might be ruse, Tyrell.
Many of his former colleagues are saying the same thing. They worked with that man for over a decade and never even had a single rib, a sauce, a brisket. Yeah.
So he's not actually making the rib. Maybe someone else is making the rib.
I think it's a fiction book. On the ribs from him.
All right, man.
So let's talk about the game. Now, you know, my take on the game, the upshot was that Wentz and Evan Engram bailed out Doug last night. Now, it was great that he led that drive down the field. He made two great throws in that drive. So I don't want to take anything away from Carson Wentz, but I thought he overcame some really bad bundles by his head coach. What did you think?
Well, I think Doug is under a different type of pressure as far as the play caller, because you have so many reserve guys that are playing. If you have your starters playing, you understand. I know what DeSean Jackson does well. I know what Alshon does well. Same thing with Ertz and Goddard. With these reserve guys, you're still trying to figure out exactly what they do well. What type of plays do I want to call for Greg Ward? What type of plays do I want to call for Corey Clement? What type of plays do I want to get involved with Boston Scott? I think Doug is still figuring that out, and he's also trying to overcome, you know, some bad decisions and bad play from the offensive line, bad decisions by the quarterback. I mean, he has to overcome a lot. So I don't know that Doug didn't. I don't think Doug had a great game as far as play calling. I think he had an okay game. He wasn't the biggest issue in the game.
All right, I'm not looking at like the way he called the entire game. I'm just looking at three instances here where I think a coach should be thinking on his feet a little better. The fourth down throw to a tight end who's never appeared on the field is a curious call to me. I don't get it. I don't think it should go that way. The late challenge
flag.
That
was a bad decision.
Yeah, all right. The late challenge flag is inexcusable. And then a two-point conversion when the Giants gift you to the one, and then you run that play. It's all about thinking on your feet, and I thought his quarterback had to bail him out with that drive.
Well, all three of those decisions are terrible. Those are just bad plays. But again, you run 65 plays, you're going to have some bad plays. Those plays happen to be in critical situations. But yeah, you got to throw the flag. You never throw the ball to Hakeem Butler. I mean, I don't even know who the kid was before the play. And the two-point conversion, I'm not thinking that you're going to run a lead draw, a power play with your quarterback in that spot from the one. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And so, yeah, I think he could have drawn up different plays. And I think, to your point, it's probably even better that he's not great at thinking on his feet. And to be honest with you, Mike, we see that all the time in the interviews. We see that all the time in the press conferences that, you know, sometimes, and I made this comment last year, that, you know, sometimes Doug just doesn't say the right things in these press conferences. Sometimes he just says things that he shouldn't be talking about, making comments that he shouldn't make. And really, when you talk about those type of comments, all you have to do is think back to when he answered the question about Carson regressing. That's something that you shouldn't say as the offensive head coach and a guy that is dealing with your quarterback all the time. So, yeah, Doug has done this before. It doesn't quite make sense, and you're right. Carson Wentz bailed him out. He made some terrific plays. The defense bailed him out. They made some timely plays, getting some turnovers. But, you know, this is part of the evolution for the Philadelphia Eagles, trying to bail each other out and find ways to win.
All right, so give me your assessment then of the quarterback. And, you know, had they not won that game, people would be saying, well, that throw, he doesn't throw it away. He threw it across the field, blah, blah, blah. What did you think of his performance last night?
Well, he started strong. I mean, he made some strong throws. And when the Giants were playing zone early on in the game, Carson was taking a five-step drop and getting the ball out of his hands. And he looked accurate. He was throwing the ball strong. And, you know, I was impressed. He started really fast. I think Doug, especially with getting the ball in D-Jack's hands, the first couple of plays with the end around and then the kind of the 8-yard, 9-yard hitch hitting D-Jack, Carson was able to step up in the pocket and throw the ball. And then he just had a period between like the second and maybe the third quarter where he wasn't very accurate. It felt like he was holding on to the ball. And then he was he was just trying to do too much. He's trying to evade the rush and spinning around, and that's when you throw the start throwing the ball to the other team. That's when you throw the ball across your body because you're trying to make too many plays. And, you know, for a fifth-year player, you would think that Carson would have gotten all that out of his system. You would think that he would say, okay, I need to allow the game to come to me. I need to know how to play under control, especially having success early on in the game, being able to do that. He did great early on in the game, just playing within the game plan, getting the ball out of his hands, allow the guys to catch it and make plays for him after he threw the football. But then, you know, he just goes through these stretches where he just wants to be Superman, and we have to find a way to get out of that. And really, Doug, if you listen to Doug talk, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, you know, there's just times where Carson kind of just goes off script and does his own thing. And unfortunately, that's when he gets interceptions. And you know, you can't afford to have those types of plays against the better teams in the NFL.
All right, so here's the fact. They have showed heart in three straight games. Now, I don't know, like the first two were losses, but they showed heart last night to come back. And I know it's a bad team, but they showed enough heart to come back and win after being down, and it looked like it was a sure L. So what does it mean now that they have developed this kind of, grit?
Well, it just means that you know the team is not going to give up. I think this win actually means something concrete. It means you still are in the race, obviously, to win the NFC East. You're not in the sweepstakes of getting rid of players. If you lose that game yesterday or last night and you potentially lose the next one, then now you start putting players on the trade block. Now you start saying, okay, well, we can get rid of this guy for a pick. We can get rid of that guy for a pick. But winning that game last night means something concrete, that you're not going to start making those types of decisions at this point. That's important for this football team. You're right. They are developing some type of callous, some type of grit, some type of determination to show that they can actually win these games. I think that counts. That matters. But again, if they play against a better football team or a team that could possibly catch Evan Engram, then at that point you lose a game. And that's the type of thing that you don't want to see.
All right. What was good? What was bad? As you're taking notes on this game, the good, the bad, what did you see that just made you sour?
Well, I'll say the good thing. The good thing was that Jim Schwartz showed his blitzes a little bit more. They were able to get some turnovers. That was huge. Carson made some throws. He made some throws on the sideline. You know, so there's a gap between, and when the defense is playing cover two, between the safety and the corner, there's a gap. And it's a shot. You got to throw the ball with all you have and put everything on the ball to get it in there. Carson threw a couple of those balls, and he had some zip on it. Looked good. That's the type of play that you need. So he threw the ball well in those certain situations. And, of course, I think the play calling and three of those examples that you named early could have been different. I think the offensive line play, their communication still needs to get better, because when defenses are twisting and stunting, they're allowed to get to the quarterback way too easy for my liking. And I think Carson has to begin to think, let's just stay on schedule. Let's leave the heroic plays for someone else. We don't have to do all that. If we stay on schedule, then I think we can play a better game from the quarterback position, and he'll be more efficient that way, the same way he was at the beginning of the game.
All right. So last night, you were going back and forth with the people, and yeah. One of the last things, you were giving a lot of credit to Boston Scott for making that snare, and the people were on you for not giving enough credit to Carson, the way it looked.
Yeah. Yeah, but Mike, you know me. If it's your Twitter, you say whatever you want to say. And you congratulate guys how you want to congratulate. And here's the thing. And I made this comment last night, and I still think it's true. I expect Carson Wentz to be able to make those throws. I really do. I think he was a second pick in the draft. He's been in the league for 5 years. He knows how to play the game. When he came into the league, they're saying that he's the smartest guy that the Eagles have ever seen at the quarterback position. He has a strong arm. He has a mobility that we all want. He's big. He's strong. I expect him to be able to make those throws. To me, that's a throw that he should be able to make. That's a throw that a $100 million quarterback should be able to make. There's no doubt about that. It's not that it wasn't a good throw, but I expect him to be able to make that throw. In fact, I think he should be able to make more of those throws. Now, Boston Scott is an undrafted guy in his second year. I mean, we got to call a spade a spade. And here's the other part. here's the other part, Mike. Boston Scott is a personal friend. Boston Scott came to me for advice before the games. Before the season, Boston Scott came to me for advice. So, of course, I want to congratulate him on a great play. I thought that was a great catch, and it was a good catch.
I'm glad you revealed that. So, first of all, it's a running back, so you're naturally going to have a little preference for the RB. And secondly, he's looking at you as the mentor.
Explain this, though, Mike. Just because I say Boston Scott, that's a great catch, doesn't mean that it was a bad throw. Mm-hmm. That's not what it means. It means I felt like it was a great catch. I don't have to go around and be a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm an analyst.
I know you are, and I appreciate that about you. You like to call, like you see, just like I do. You know, but during the game, what were you saying about the team as they got behind?
Well, they were playing bad. That's what I was saying. That's what every analyst would say. It was a terrible decision for Carson Wentz to throw the ball up after spinning around and throw the ball in the end zone. That's a terrible decision. That's a bad decision. That's what every analyst would say. That's what Troy Aikman on the game actually said. Mm-hmm. That's his job, and my job as an analyst is to point out the things that I see. And it's simple as that.
Listen, I like it. I noticed you were a little more active. Tyrone, you noticed he was a little more active last night.
A little more active, a different side of B. West, the side that I get all the time. He was doling out
to
some of the people.
Showing his true colors to everybody else.
A little more toughness to the other people.
Here's the thing
about the people. They were questioning, well, why don't you talk that way about Carson? Well, that's not my job. My job was to call it like I see it. If I feel like Carson did something special, then I'll give Carson credit. That's great. I'm not a Carson hater. I don't hate Carson. I expect him to do that because I think he's a good quarterback. If I thought he was average, if I thought he was the third string quarterback and he made those types of throws, I'd be like, oh my goodness, this is a great throw. But I expect him to be able to do that. That's because with expectations, I mean, with great talent comes expectations. And that's why I say the things that I say.
You know, the coach, I think, was trying to channel a little Westbrook returned against the Giants and also Deshaun returned against the Giants when he put him back there. What was your reaction to that?
Well, you know, so as a return man, right, if the kicking team is like near their goal line, then more than likely you're going to have room for a return because now their kicker can kind of kick it away and you get yourself a 50-yard punt, right? Mm-hmm. And now you have time to catch the ball, recover, and now you can get up the field, get some yards. But as they get closer to the 50-yard line, midfield, the idea of your ability to return a punt is lessened because now the coverage team doesn't have as much space that they need to cover. So they're more so going to be on top of you as you catch the ball. So in the situation that they were in, the Giants were near the 50. I'm not sure the exact yard line. There just wasn't a great opportunity for return there. And if you think about the Miracle in the Meadowlands with Deshaun or myself, you just think about where they were kicking the ball from and where we retrieved the ball at, where we caught the ball at. Deshaun caught his ball right around midfield. I probably caught mine right around the 25 or 30. So we had space to run. There was space between where we caught the ball and where we had to the defense.
So you thought that was a bad decision to play him back there?
You don't. How much can he help at that point? That's probably why you shouldn't have put him back there. But listen, freak plays happen all the time. If Deshaun breaks it, and everyone's saying Doug Peterson is a genius, to me, that's one of the plays that happen in a football game. I don't blame Doug for putting him back there in that situation, though.
Okay. What did you think of their receivers last night?
I think Greg Ward made some good plays. I mean, he ran some really good routes. He caught the ball well. Fogle made some good plays. Ran some really good routes and caught the ball well. There's just some situations where, and we talk about Carson kind of ad-libbing and rolling around and doing different things. That's because the guys aren't open. And there are times when you're running routes, you're running man routes versus zone, or you're running zone routes versus man. And at some point, those guys have to either get open or Carson has to say, okay, there's nothing left on these plays. Let me throw the ball away. Unfortunately, those are the plays where Carson starts doing crazy things and bad things generally happen in those types of situations.
All right, let's take a couple phone calls. So we got our pick segment coming up. I'm doing the reins this week because Tyrone brought me back. He brought me back a game, so he gave me a little confidence to get back in the batter's box. And apparently, we're going head to head on how many?
On
one?
On one, it's direct head-to-head, and another one, you guys actually agree.
Oh, we do agree.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. And then another one, so you could pick up two, Mike, but you couldn't pick up three.
Okay, I could pick up two.
Two would be good.
Dribs and drabs.
And I think I got into Brian's head. I think I got into Brian's head. His hatred for me threw him off his picks, and now after rolling forever, he won in two. I think I get in Brian's head a little bit. That hatred.
I'm shocked
clouded
that you, that you went.
You know
two
what?
One.
I think really I'm feeling Brian is like Jake Elliott right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
lost a little confidence maybe in the selection.
Yeah. Yes, you're going to the phones real fast. Yeah. Jake Elliott's missed field goal, it cost a better $238,000.
Mm. Oh, my. Mm. On what was the bet?
It was minus three in the first half.
Oh, jeez!
Wow!
You know, kickers are kickers,
and it was only 30 seconds left. So if he makes it, it's a lock. Yep. Yeah. So $238,095.25.
Not a very popular man that better.
He only broke even. He just got his money back because it was a push.
All right, well, shame. Jay, come on. Tom in Northeast Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my Giants game point, I'd like to Brian to remember that I'm the alum guy who brought up the fact that he's the only 1,000-yard receiver in the history of college football at any level. And I'm also the guy who brought up the fact that he got 420-some yards against Pitt in a single game. So,
you know, for Villanova, that was money well spent when they got Westbrook to that campus.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. I just like to point that out. And then he goes on to become one of my favorite Eagles of all time. So, you know, I've just had a whole lifetime with the guy already, at least the end of my lifetime. But the game last night, I'm just happy with a W. You know, I believe in the old phrase, you lose by two last week, you win by one. I don't care. All I care about is W's and L's. Close only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes. So I'll take any win we can get.
Who plays hand grenades? I hear that a lot. People play horseshoes. Who plays hand grenades?
I played hand grenades in Vietnam.
Yeah, but they're not playing. Like, it's not a recreational thing.
But if you're close,
it's not a game, huh?
You
got to change that up. That hand grenade, you know. All right, but anyway, go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Anyway, the point is that you only have to be close.
Mm-hmm. So, I understand what the implication is.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, the thing is now, I see a clear path to winning the division. And I love having the 10 days off before the Dallas game. I even like the fact that the Dallas game is on a Sunday night. And then with the Giants again, I see us getting on a roll here. Mm-hmm. And I think we could beat the Browns too. Now, there's tough games down the road.
Well, that would be seven.
Yeah,
and that's all they need.
That's right. Who are the Cowboys, Giants,
we think they're going to win the next three. We thought they were going to win last night. I think they're going to beat the Cowboys. They're going to beat the Giants again. So they got to win one of those nasty games, and that gets them to seven, and that'll get them the division.
And I don't think Cleveland's that nasty.
All right, so Cleveland's the one you think they can win. That's fair.
All right. And I think they're probably going to win one more. I think they're going to win eight.
They're going to win eight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see eight. But, it's going to be tough to win eight. But they can win one of those games.
I don't know that there was any question that they were good enough to win the division, especially after you see the way that the Cowboys have played. I think they're good enough to win the division. The biggest question, and really, is can they win a playoff game? And that's the part that I think a lot of fans are saying, well, if we look over the landscape of the NFC, and then we look at our team, they're not good enough to win a playoff game. I think that's more the bigger picture.
All right, let's take a quick break. We come back, and we got our fearless picks. We'll see what we do. I was really close to picking a college game, but my heart told me I couldn't do it. So I'll put that out there for my clients, but that's not going to be in my three-game pack. And that's coming up, me versus Westbrook. He's got a major lead. What is the tally right now? Tyrone, we were You brought me back with a 2-1 to what, yes, 6 and.
I'll tell you on the other side. I got him on the computer.
Okay. All right. 610-620-9975. It's a good time to get into if you want to get on with Brian Westbrook before he gets out of here at 5 o'clock. Call in now. Stack it up. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. Are you trying to be faking me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off on a Friday. And this is interesting sound off because it follows an Eagles game. So we're going to go out in a blaze of glory here. The sound off number for the weekend, if you want to climb in, is 610-771-9705. Leave us a message. We put them together every day. Let's see what we have on sound off today.
Mike, I can't help but laugh when Aaron Andrews mentioned before kickoff that Doug's wife asked him, why can't you game plan for all Sunday games like you do Thursday night against the Giants if you're 6-0? And Doug went all snippy on her and his own wife the same way he got all snippy with reporters. I guess Doug may have asked her, do you know how to coach too? Wow.
No, that wasn't a live interview she did with him, right? She was just recanting it.
Yeah, she was saying that his wife, but
yeah, that was a story earlier in the week.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. It was an old story his wife said you can't coach on. It was like a cutesy little chuckle story. He said it tongue in cheek, like he was making fun of himself.
Oh, Jeannie. Okay.
Yeah,
Jeannie
just,
Peterson.
That was just repeated by Aaron.
He didn't go to her like, hey, I'm Coach Peterson.
No. No, he didn't.
Mike, Doug Peterson is regressing as a sideline decision maker under the pressure of the play clock. They fail to get the challenge flags out of his pocket in time. They fail to call a timeout when there's an uncovered receiver. And then another one that not enough people are talking about. He has almost 3 yards to go when he calls a sneak.
Yeah, he did that. It was 3 yards. It was more than a yard, though. I don't think it's his strength. I mean, I've seen enough to think that he's not like a quick thinker. And I guess when you're not a quick thinker, then your players better perform and execute the play that he calls.
Shout out to Carson Wentz and Lane Johnson. Both of those guys are warriors. I mean, Lane Johnson to go out there and try and play on one lane and compromise your knee for the betterment of the team. There's nobody tougher than that. And Carson wants to stick in there and deliver that pass at the end of the game. Shout out to those two, man. Without them, who knows what we'd be.
That's a pretty good call. Lane Johnson did try and play last night, but at all costs. And so you wonder, what's his status? We haven't even talked about what's going to happen there with him. I got some time, but
yeah, I mean, he keeps saying it's day-to-day, week-to-week. At some point, you probably got to just shut him down for this one, then have the bye week and get him back for the next Giants game.
Was there an update on Deshaun Jackson?
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah,
seven.
He's out.
He's on IR.
He is?
Yeah.
What would they say?
It's a high ankle.
But apparently it's
bad.
It's apparently much more serious than Ertz, where Ertz is in the 3 or 4 to 6. They say he might be back by the end of the year in Deshaun's case.
Guess they didn't get that much mileage out of the Deshaun signing.
I don't know if anybody else is going to say it, so I'll be the one to say it. Danger Doug Peterson got Deshaun hurt. If you got this guy on the pitch count for how many plays he has, why is he returning punts?
Are you kidding me, Doug? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I think he was trying to strike gold. You know, we heard from Westbrook, and it's probably not the right thing to do, but I can't blame the guy for trying to, like, get a golden play. And maybe it was misguided and he thought DeSean could do it. Maybe it was misguided and he thought he could do it from the 10. But I'm thinking he's just dipping into, trying to strike gold. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Why does Peterson put Jalen Hurts in while they're in a groove? The only time Jalen Hurts would just see the field is when the Eagles need a spark. Eagles to the playoffs. Eagles to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl shuffle.
Well, they activate him, therefore they must play him a couple of plays. It's so forced. But I just hate the fact that they keep Wentz on the field. It's like you're playing now 10. You know, I just don't understand that mentality.
Yeah, in a red zone situation, I was thinking maybe they try to throw to Wentz to keep teams honest in the future. Yeah. But instead, regular option down the... So, I don't know.
You know, I remember the good old days when they had guys like Seth Joyner, Byron Evans, Jeremiah Trotter, even Michael Kendricks for crying out loud when he was available. These guys, these linebackers, forget about it.
Well, the league has changed considerably, and I hate to say this. Jeremiah Trotter, as great as he was, I don't know if he could play today. Could he? He couldn't cover anybody, Jeremiah Trotter. I mean, he was a thumper, and he had that middle linebacker blitz that they made famous. But, you know, they would exploit him today for his lack of cover skills.
From that core, Carlos Emmons would be the one that could play.
Yeah,
now, he could cover. He could play now.
Could Seth play even now?
Seth could cover.
Probably could.
Because Seth's one of the only people with, like, X number of sacks, interceptions. There's an argument for Seth Jordan to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So he could.
The Trotter type of linebacker you don't really see anymore.
So if the playoffs are going to start this week, it would be the Bears versus the Eagles. Eagles home game at the Link. Oof. Mickey Six versus Carson. My only question is, after the game, would Carson go and shake Mick's hand, or would he walk off? Or would he, give him the ball and wish him luck?
Come on, you talk about Carson, man. He's a Christian man. Of course he could go over and shake his hand. But I am so praying for that game. I mean, it's like the highlight of my whole NFL season here to have that game.
Yep.
We'd have Sixers just started and that.
And I'll be honest with you, I think Carson should be praying for it because he's closer to the man anyway. Get that done because that's the only thing that's going to remove this big burden.
That's right.
Quick news flash. When that stiff Jake Elliott missed that chip shot, Doug Peterson was not letting him on the field again. That's why it was all fourth down and go for it. And that's why there were all two-point conversions. That kid should be cut today.
I don't think that, I don't think he didn't think he would miss a 25-yarder in that kind of situation, you know? I understand people are frustrated by that dude. Nobody frustrates me more than a kicker. Well, he was 30 for 30, and sometimes you miss. All right, close it down.
The best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got
a beef?
I don't like them.
What?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, folks, stay tuned. The Draft Line Show with Devon Givens and Jamie Lynch is coming up right now after this show. Don't forget Tyrone tomorrow, 9 to 12 on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Eagles postgame live from last night. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.